Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour 3 of the Daily Tip on About MGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. Thank you for waking up with us. Always great to be with you. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up in our final hour, the Tush Push is back in the headlines because, of course, it is. Hear why Eagles offensive lineman Jordan Mailata is over it. Then in 20 minutes, we'll stay in the NFL and buy or sell different teams after 2 weeks of action. Donkster best bets coming your way at 8:40. I'm working on a big card. Let's see how that goes. Also, welcome to our audience. Yeah, we're going to do it. Why not? Double D talked me into it. Doesn't take much. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium. You can stream our final hour on BallySportsLive.com and the Bally Sports Live app. Oh, who doesn't want to talk about a Tush Push? The Tush Push on a Wednesday morning. So we saw it six times between the Eagles and the Chiefs over the weekend in that 2017 win by Philly, dropping the Chiefs to 0-2. But, of course, the Tush Push, a big part of that game, and the Eagles are tired of hearing about how that's the only way they won. That's the only way they win games. Eagles left tackle Jordan Mailata was on WIP radio yesterday in Philly, and in a very... In a sort of respectful way, I mean, he was upset about it, but his accent sort of softens that. He was saying he's just tired of hearing it.
I understand it. I understand the outrage. What I don't understand is them using it as an excuse to why we won the game.
Right.
I think it's incredibly disrespectful to our defense and our special teams who balled out. You know, my brother's on defense, special teams who balled out that game, who had our backs when we went moving the ball or we weren't doing anything, you know. And so when I see those things, and they fly, you know, they fly across my timeline here and there, and I do my best to stay off social media, but you know, that kind of irks me a little bit. That pisses me off, because we give so much to this game, and to you know, kind of base off a short yardage play that is a football play,
yeah,
and say that we won the game off that. But not how our defense played, not how our special teams have played, putting us in those positions. You know, I think it's bullcrap. Part of my French. Hey, let me press this dump button.
Bullcrap
is fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
I was going to say a lot of other stuff, but you know, I just think it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish, man. It makes my blood boil just thinking about it.
He was upset about saying bullcrap. Very kind of him. I mean, ultimately, what do you think about this? I am not one who believes that the Eagles only win because of the Tush Push. They use it a lot, but ultimately, even though I think it's going to get removed from the league next year during the league meetings, I mean, it barely passed this year, came up two votes short of being banned for this season. They're still operating within the rules. I don't like the play. I think it's going to go, but they're not doing anything wrong.
Right, until they start officiating it differently. And we are starting to see videos that show, like, hey, maybe there's a neutral zone infraction. Maybe there's a false start here and there. But to say that this is the reason why they've been winning games, it's just stupid. Like, it's rubbish, as this guy put it. Because you look at some of these games, like, do we not remember the Super Bowl? Do we not remember the NFC Championship game? These were not close games. Like, the final score of the Super Bowl was 40-22. The NFC Championship game was 55-23. In fact, of the four playoff games that the Eagles had last year, only one of them was decided by one score. And that was the Rams game. And I'm pretty sure, like, that was in the snow and all of the elements. So the Eagles were an absolutely dominant team last year. So to say that the Tush Push is like, you know, the reason for their success, like obviously it's unstoppable and they have the personnel to run it. And even looking at this last Chiefs game, like the Chiefs had plenty of self-imposed mistakes and turnovers that led to them losing that game. So it wasn't the Tush Push. I know it's annoying that the Tush Push is so unstoppable, but like it's not why the Chiefs lost that game.
No. I mean, I used to say, all right, I don't mind the Tush Push. Now I can't stand the Tush Push. Like, I'm tired of the Tush Push. And at the same time, the Eagles are operating within the rules. I've just come around to the idea, and the more we see it, it's really not a football play. It's a rugby play. But more than that, it's the officials don't know how to officiate it at all. Like, it's one thing for the play to maybe not be a football play and other teams can't stop it, okay. But when you have Eagles players jumping offsides, essentially, and you have the guards hopping forward before the ball is snapped, and you're not going to call it, then what are we doing here? You have to officiate it properly. And listen, I'll give a little credit to the refs. Because everyone is so bunched up together right there at the line of scrimmage, right there over the football, they have a hard time seeing it. And they can damn sure not spot the football correctly. They have to use that Hawkeye technology just to get it right. We saw that over the weekend as well, where the spot was a little off because you've got so many bodies right there on top. So I think this play needs to go. I think it will go next season. But it's more about the officiating than anything else. If you're going to allow this play, fine, but at least call it right.
Right. So if they're not, you know, calling a penalty for it, why would the Eagles stop doing it? It's an effective play and you've got the personnel to run it. So this is on the NFL. And, you know, I understand on field level, this could probably be very difficult to see in real time, especially. But like, it's wild to me how we are not using more technology. Like, this is just one example. And you mentioned the Hawkeye technology. Like, obviously you can look at it from a different angle. Like, we've got to start using that. And, like, it's still wild to me that we don't have, like, microchips in the ball for, like, first downs. So you're like, what are we doing? Like, this is the year 2025. We've got the chain gang out there. But I do think the days of the Tush Push are probably numbered. And I do think it's probably a good thing that these complaints are arising against, you know, when it was the Chiefs. Because, listen, if this happens six times against, you know, the Jags, nobody would care. But because it's the Chiefs,
the Jags,
and you know, Roger Goodell's protecting his other favorite child, you know, and also we're seeing like some of these big names start to circulate it. Like Adam Schefter was the one that was talking about this, which I didn't know he was delving into the arena of opinion. I thought it was just an insider. But he was the one talking about this. And obviously he has some pull in the NFL. And obviously, you know, when you're talking about it on the national networks, people are going to start to listen.
Yeah. Well, and especially a big name like that, there's no question. And yeah, if it weren't against the Chiefs, you're right. We'd probably be saying, oh, no big deal. But ultimately, you just keep coming back to the fact that, or at least I keep coming back to the fact that they are playing within the rules. So if you can do it, do it.
Advantage.
Yeah, it's absolutely an advantage. And if you talk to any NFL player, they will tell you, if there is an advantage to be had, you take it. There's a reason why people say the NFL is a game of inches. Like, it's that close. We see it all the time in the NFL. So if there is a small advantage that I can take to help us win this game, and it's within the rules and sometimes not within the rules, remember Deflategate and Spygate and all that, we are going to take it. It's win at all costs, especially when it's within the rules. So if I'm the Eagles, wouldn't you just lean into this and just run the Tush Push all day? I think that's what I would do. And it is unstoppable. Since 2022, the Eagles on fourth down have converted the Tush Push more than 96% of the time. That's a ridiculous conversion rate in the National Football League. So let everyone get angry about it. Let everyone throw their arms up. Let the officials on each telecast say, I don't know what to do here. At the end of the day, as long as it's allowed, then I don't care what, I would not care what the outside world is thinking. Like, the Eagles have a more complete football team than this. They won the Super Bowl because they were the best team in football last year. They dominated. So now it's, oh, now it's just the Tush Push. Like, come on, have you watched the past couple seasons?
Right. And it's funny to me, like, the two biggest, like, complaints with the NFL right now are, like, very similar to me. Like, the fact that, like, the quote is, well, it's not against the rules, and, like, we're going to do it if it gives us an advantage. Doesn't it feel like we're talking about the Tom Brady story? Like, because it's not against the rules, and the NFL is letting him do all of these meetings against his opposition. So, like, it's not Tom Brady's fault. It's the NFL's fault for not enforcing it or changing the rules.
I mean, you're not wrong. The NFL is going to let this happen, as the NFL always does. The NFL is going to do whatever it wants to do, and they're going to say, take it. And you know
you'll like it.
You know, you're going to like it. And after about 10 minutes, you'll be like, yes, sir, I like it. I like it. You like your Red Zone with commercials? Yes. Yeah, I like the ads. They're targeted towards me. I like them a lot.
Okay. It's only a minute.
It's only a minute. You got a minute, don't you? Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. So it's going to happen. But I do think next year, like, the tush-push era will come to an end during the league meetings. We'll see. But that's kind of the inclination that you get from all of the parties involved. Now, if the Eagles make it to the Super Bowl again, if the Chiefs make it to the Super Bowl again, then Travis Kelce's fiance is the favorite to perform at the halftime show at the Super Bowl. Her name is Bertha. Bertha Williamson. She's from the Midwest.
Oh, no, it's Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Taylor. That's right. All right. My bad. And so Taylor Swift is now the favorite. You can look at this, but she is the favorite to perform at the halftime show at the Super Bowl at minus 125. You cannot bet on this at BetMGM, but if you're interested, you could find other books and put your money on. I don't really have a lot of interest in betting on a Super Bowl halftime show, but here we are. Taylor is the favorite. Dua Lipa, plus 750. Sabrina Carpenter, Miley Cyrus, Charlie XCX, each 10 to 1. Billie Eilish, 11 to 1. And Oasis at 12 to 1. Would you ever bet on this market? And is it going to be anyone besides Taylor? It's definitely going to be her.
It definitely feels like it has to be Taylor Swift, just because of the partnership that we've seen with her and the NFL. You know, Roger Goodell is, like, pulling out the big guns. He's probably, like, under the table, be like, listen, I will pay you. Don't tell anybody, but I will pay you, because Roger Goodell knows that this would be huge for the NFL. And every time she's even in the stadium, it's a big deal for the NFL because of the fan base that she commands. But I think on Taylor Swift's side of things, what huge advantage is she getting here? Like, she's not somebody who needs the publicity, and she just went on tour, so, like, she would have to go through all the training and everything again. Like, I'm not privy to that world, but I feel like it's probably a lot of work. And then here's my question. Does this have any correlation to the Chiefs playing in the Super Bowl? Because right now the Chiefs are 0-2. Do you think Taylor Swift wants to play the Super Bowl if Travis is not going to be participating in it?
No. Well, that's the obvious pull, right? Oh, my God. Imagine if Taylor is performing at the half when Travis Kelce is about ready to come back on the field for the second half, and then they're on the field together. Like, it would be this sort of perfect love story, this perfect meshing of the entertainment world and the sports world and the biggest event on the planet. It would be perfect, but there's no guarantee that Travis is going to be there. And also, I think for Taylor, I don't know, I can't speak for her, I feel like legacy matters in some way. And when you look at the great names who performed the Super Bowl, right? Beyonce, Michael Jackson, Prince, you know, Kendrick Lamar, Dr. Dre, the biggest of the big names in the music industry, she has never done. It's the one thing she hasn't done.
Den looks like he wants to say something.
Yeah.
Get on in here.
If Taylor Swift says yes to this, is this her way of saying, you know what? I don't think Travis is going to be there. I don't think this is the Chiefs' year. If I'm going to perform at the Super Bowl, it's because I want my boyfriend, fiance, husband, I don't know when they're getting married, probably after football season, but I want my fiance to see it. I think if she says yes, that's her saying, I'm like, I don't think this is the Chiefs' year. I don't think they're getting back there.
Well, we know she's a huge Xavier Worthy fan. You know, that had to hurt her when he went down. I don't know. What do you think, Jenks?
Oh, I think this is just the perfect win-win for her, right? If they interview her, oh, my God, I'm so excited. I'm just so excited. And this is the biggest event on the planet. I love football. I've learned so much about it. And then if my fiance happens to be there, it would be even more special. Like, this is just a soundbite waiting to happen.
Oh, for sure. But do you think it would be tough for Travis Kelce to, like, support his future wife at the Super Bowl and him not playing. Like, obviously, like, he'd still go, but the way that he's been throwing these, like, hissy fits lately, I don't know. I feel like it would bother him. Like, God, I'm not playing.
But I mean, it's going to bother him no matter what. Fine. Like, he'll support his wife, but he's going to be bothered no matter what. Like, if the Chiefs don't make the Super Bowl, he's going to be bothered no matter what. You know? Mm-hmm. So he'll be miserable knowing he didn't make it to the Super Bowl. And then he'll look at his fiance and say, well, glad you're having a good time. Glad you're enjoying yourself here. It's your halftime show. That should be the locker room right now. But you never know. It's still early for Kansas City. Coming up next to the show. Well, which teams are we buying? Which teams are we selling after a couple weeks in the NFL? If you like the stock market, if you like the betting markets, it's a segment for you. That is coming up next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. Daily Tip on about MGM Network. Coming up, the Chiefs are 0-2 to start the season. So are we buying or selling Kansas City to make the playoffs and then make a run? We'll bring in D-Day and he will tee us up on those topics. How often are you on LinkedIn? I would guess never.
Ooh.
Chelsea.
I would guess one. Never. 0%
yes, you do.
Of the time.
Really?
I don't have one.
Oh, okay. No. It's so interesting to me because it's such a, I mean, obviously it's almost like Facebook for business, right? It's just a bunch of business posts and some of them are really good and very fascinating. I say this because I signed in because I had some kids from the East Tennessee State class yesterday want to friend me on LinkedIn. And I told them, hey, I'm here to help. If ever I can help in any way, I want to help you guys out. But then I had an old friend of mine pop up and I'm amazed at some of my friends that I haven't seen in a while, which happens as you get older. And I'm like, oh my God. You're doing like big things. Like I got a friend of mine who is, he worked in the Obama White House, started his own tech company, and he's giving some keynote speech next week. And I have a friend of mine and she's the head of like corporate affairs for like General Motors. And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm talking about sports and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I'm very proud of them, but it kind of hits me in the face like, oh wow, it's been a while and you guys are crushing it.
Yeah, this is how like everybody in my grade of my swim team was. So I swam at NC State, and I feel like the demographic for swimmers is that like most of them are like type A, really hard workers, and like they come from good families because like swimming is a country club sport. Like most people don't get into swimming, you know, because you know it's a difficult sport to kind of get into because like most summer leagues start with country clubs. So my point being is that like we have a group chat. And, like, some of the things, it's like, oh, Marissa's getting ready to do the Ironman, and she just had her sixth kid. And you're like, what? When does she have time for this? And then it's, like, people who are doctors and PhDs. So here I am, like, well, we're going to talk about who covers the spread in Indiana and Illinois. Should be a big one. Life-changing work over here. So I totally get it. I feel like some idiot at Starbucks that like everybody's working on like really important stuff on their laptop and I'm just like that meme of a cat just like typing away. I'm like, oh, look at these memes on Jameis Winston doing really serious work over here.
Somebody has to do it. Somebody has to do the meme work, Chelsea. That's important meme work and we're the
meme work.
The meme work. That's real work. So we're going to do the meme work and we're going to some buy and sell some NFL teams and bring in D-Day to help us decide whether we are going to buy and sell. Good morning.
All right, guys. How are we doing? I hope that we are buying a lot of things and maybe selling some things to make some money to then buy some more things. That's usually how this works.
Yes.
So I'm going to start. Are you buying or selling the Kansas City Chiefs to make and win a playoff game. They started 0-2. Only 12% of teams that start 0-2 then proceed to make the playoffs. The Chiefs have done this before, but there's never been a team in NFL history coming off of a 14-plus win season to then start the next season 0-2 and win a playoff game that year.
What do you think, Chelsea?
I think that you really have to challenge your perspective when it comes to futures and betting, because it's very easy to look at the obvious and be like, oh, the Chiefs are cooked. Why would you buy stock in the Chiefs? But listen, when it comes to futures, timing is everything. And the time you want to buy in on a stock is at its lowest. Doesn't it feel like the low point for the Chiefs right now? They started the season 0-2. But if you look at these games, it's not like they're getting blown out. Like, hell, they just played the reigning Super Bowl champs in the Eagles, a team that stomped them in the Super Bowl. And that was a really close game. And in fact, it was like self-inflicted wounds that cost the Chiefs in this game. So it's wild, like the butterfly effect of like, what if Travis Kelce didn't tip that pass and it wasn't intercepted? Like, what if the Chiefs had won this game? How much would the narrative be changing right now? Over one play. Really good time, a really good team. And if there's ever a time to like buy low on a team, like now's the time for the Chiefs. So speaking from that regard, I'm buying in on the Chiefs.
I am not, but I think your point is well taken, which is if you're a Chiefs backer, if you like Kansas City, and there is a lot to like, right? So we're talking about losing a game against, now we know, a very good Chargers team and losing to the defending Super Bowl champions, okay? Anybody could go 0-2 against those two teams based on what we've seen thus far. But I ultimately think, going back to the Super Bowl last year, I wonder if this team has the horses to win a playoff game. I think maybe they could slide into the playoffs, but I just feel like they don't quite have the weaponry. They don't quite protect Patrick Mahomes like they should be able to protect him. We saw the Chargers get after him in game one. So I think they find a way to make it in, but I'm not really of the belief that they are going to make any sort of run or win a postseason game because the AFC is so strong. So I get the buy low spot on the Chiefs because of the Chiefs, but I'm out. I'm going to sell.
I want to say one more thing about the Chiefs because I think it's important to note. I will say the defense at least looked very good against the Eagles. Because like, if you can even slow down the Eagles just a little bit, your defense is doing something right. So I still think there are things to like about the Chiefs. And the problem is, just from a logic standpoint, is that we have seen this story before, where they have had not much depth on the receiving core. You know, they said, oh, the Chiefs aren't dominating. And then those years, they've won Super Bowls. So it's just one of those things that, like, we've questioned the Chiefs before, and it has not turned out in our favor. So it's just really difficult to, like, write them off as completely dead.
All right.
So you guys mentioned the Los Angeles Chargers. They obviously beat the Chiefs in week number one. They're looking for their first divisional title since 2009. I mean, think of how long ago that was. They're currently the favored for the first time, and God knows when. They're minus 105. Are you buying that the Chargers are going to win the AFC West this year?
I'm in. Just give me all the Kool-Aid on the Chargers. Play the San Diego Superchargers fight song that they used to play back in the day. We got to find that. That's old school. And let's just go on the Chargers not charging because they have a Jim Harbaugh in charge. I just love how physical they are. They are built in the image of teams he has built in the past, right? Like very well-disciplined, complete teams, physical. And again, I know it's early, but now we're getting another year of this team under his tutelage. And if what we saw against the Chiefs and what we've seen early on is an indication, they're going to be a real force. And I think this is the year, based on Jim Harbaugh and his experience, that Justin Herbert takes that next step. And we're already starting to see it, which is crazy because he's already been a hell of a quarterback in the NFL. I'm all over the Chargers.
I think you can make a very strong argument for them to win the AFC West and still feel like the Chiefs can be the more trustworthy team in the postseason, because think about it, winning the AFC West is a regular season bet. And the most important part of this was that the Chargers already beat the Chiefs at a neutral site, which was their quote-unquote home game. So the fact that they already have one win against the Chiefs is a big deal. So it would not shock me. But again, when it comes to futures, like, you don't buy a stock when it's at its peak. Like, right now, the Chargers look amazing. So, like, maybe you wait a couple games and hope that they have a slip-up. Because it just feels like you've lost, you know, the value when it comes to the Chargers. Like, maybe they lose to the Broncos this week. I don't think that it happens because the Broncos don't look as stout as I thought that they were going to be. But I think you kind of lost out on the time to buy on the Chargers. I think you only take this bet if you like the Chiefs.
All right.
What about Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts? Are you buying that what we have seen in the first 2 weeks of the season are real?
Oh, Chelsea, you hate the Colts. What do you think?
God, I hate to admit it. I hate to give ammo to the haters of the Titans. But listen, the Colts look really good. And here's what I feel like people aren't talking about as much as maybe they should. It's very easy to look at the quarterback and be like, he's the reason for their success. But Jonathan Taylor ran for 165 yards against the Broncos. That is a very good defense. And I think people forget that Jonathan Taylor used to be one of the most dominant backs in the NFL. Like, I remember the days where it was Jonathan Taylor v. Derrick Henry, you know, for top spot and top billing as the top running back in the NFL. So I think, you know, there are other things that go into it, but I do buy into the Colts. They're a good team. Daniel Jones is doing well enough, and the fact that he has the parachute of the run game, you know, and Jonathan Taylor, I just think it makes it a more stable take to say that, like, the Colts are the best team in the AFC South.
I've gone back and forth on this one. I mean, it's been kind of fun. Well, I know it's not been fun for you, but it's been kind of fun from a macro perspective to see the Colts actually win games with Daniel Jones at quarterback. And you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, how good he's been, and Shane Steichen and his plan sort of coming together, maybe in Indianapolis. But I think I would still be on the Jags here. Although I wanted to get your take real quick, and Denton as well, on Brian Thomas Jr. Have you seen BTJ's highlights from last week where he's avoiding contact, he's dropping passes? Like, he just sort of lost his mind in that game, in a game that was absolutely winnable, and not playing like the guy that we saw last year. He was really underrated as a rookie. Did anyone see that by me?
Yeah, those are lowlights. Those were not highlights. There was nothing high about
crazy.
That.
But terrible. Like, I don't know what got into him. It's like he's jogging around. There's a fumble right in front of him. He's like, look at that. Rolling around right in front of me. Like, I don't know. He's a hell of a football player. Was last year, but man, he was getting a lot of heat this weekend, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I can't buy in on the Jags. I feel like the Colts look like the better team as of now. And obviously, this could all change. And here's the wild part, that we always have these takes very early in the season, and things can change dramatically. Like, remember, we're 2 weeks into the season. There are plenty of seasons where, like, oh, this team is actually good. Like, the one that I brought up the other day was the game where I think it was, like, a rain game, and Justin Fields and the Bears, like, took down the Niners. Everybody's like, ooh, Justin Fields, franchise quarterback for the Bears. He's arrived. Yeah, look at that take.
Well. All right, what else you got, D-Day?
Can I interest you in Brian Thomas Jr. for Luke McCaffrey straight up? You know, reunite Brian Thomas with his, you know, college quarterback? Kidding, obviously.
Yes.
Number three. Yeah, I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Are you buying or selling the Rams offense to be able to hang with Philadelphia? Played really well last week, sorry, Chelsea, against the Titans. Week number one, they didn't look as impressive. Which version of the Rams is accurate?
Ooh. I mean, did you see some of the tight window throws that Matt Stafford was making? Like, that's the thing. Like, no matter, you know, what is holding together Matt Stafford, he is such a good quarterback. And Sean McVay, despite, I think he got hurt on the sideline. I think he's in a boot like you, Dan.
Yeah, he did.
So here's the thing. Like, when you have Sean McVay and Matt Stafford, and hell, Puka Nacua needs to be in that equation as well, and that young defensive line, they've got a lot of things to like about the Rams. So I think Matt Stafford is just such a good quarterback. I don't know if they hang with the Eagles, but I think the Eagles can, like, stifle them to death to where maybe it's not a blowout. But maybe they play ball control here because that's what I think they should do. Their run game is so good. I think they can hang with him, but, like, if I'm taking the three, like, if you're asking if I'm taking the 3.5, I don't know about that.
I think I would. I like the Rams a lot here. And Matthew Stafford looks like he's Matthew Stafford. He's banged up. His back needs like 85 injections. It doesn't matter. He's going to go out there and ball. But really, it's the Rams defense, I think, that has been most impressive to me. Early on, this is a top five defense. So the Eagles offense looks, you know, they don't really explode. Like, they have explosive players, but they're sort of a grinded out team on offense. That's why A.J. Brown is frustrated, right? They're not dynamic, but they just kind of grind you down and beat you down over the course of a game. But I think we could kind of see sort of a rock fight game because of these two defenses. And even if we don't, Matthew Stafford has enough tools on offense, I think, to keep this within the number. So if we're talking about 3.5, I'd actually be on the Rams here. I like L.A. a lot, and we liked them before the season. Aren't we a part of the Ramily still? We still doing that?
But it's okay. Like process of elimination. Just because, okay. Like, I don't think anybody's buying any more stock in the Niners. Like, maybe you believe in Mac Jones. I don't. But yeah, it's a process of elimination. Like, I inherently trust Sean McVay and Matt Stafford. But again, like, they're playing the reigning Super Bowl champs. If it was anybody else, maybe I'd take the 3.5. But I don't know. The Eagles are so good at keeping leads.
No, it's true. They are. We got one more.
We got one more. And yes, as you mentioned, Sean McVay and I are trauma bonding over plantar fascia muscles. Final one here. Are you buying or selling Jake Browning to win at least 8 games, which would put Cincinnati at 10 and lead to a potential Joe Burrow return?
Ooh.
He's right there. I think it's right there. Their schedule is a roller coaster. Like, they start Vikings, Broncos, Lions, Packers. Brutal. But then they go Steelers, Jets, Bears, Steelers. But then it's Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Ravens. And then it's Dolphins, Cardinals, Browns. Like, it's so tough, and then they get to coast. So tough, and then they get to coast. I think there's probably 8 games, but it's only 8 games.
So let's do the math here. Is there 15 games remaining? Or is it 14?
Yes.
Because of the bye. Well, anyways, like, his previous record was 4-3 in his last 7 games, you know, as a starter. So if he can have a winning record, I don't know. I think it's in the realm of possibility. I don't think it happens, but I wouldn't be shocked if it did.
Yeah. I mean, if the number is 8, he's not getting to 9, but maybe he can get to 8. That's kind of how I feel, man. Going to be fascinating at Cincy. Coming up next here on the show. All right, we've talked it out. We've looked at our betting cards. Now we're going to tell you which plays are official. Best bets are next on A Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A Daily Tip on about MGM Network. It's Wednesday. Thanks for being with us as we are live across the country, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East, streaming on Stadium in our final hour. Also streaming on X as well. Bet Sweat's on the way. God, I ran up during the break and I decided I would bring the lovely Catherine some coffee. And we have a brand new rug under our bed that we just bought like a week ago. And I walk up there. Almost spilled coffee everywhere. Luckily, her house shoes caught the drips of coffee coming off the coffee cup and prevented it from going on the rug. So, saved by the house shoes. It wasn't a ton, but it wasn't great. Whew, sometimes in the morning, I get super clumsy. It's not great.
I feel like this is why you get a rug that has a pattern on it. I am so thankful that we didn't get like a solid colored rug because we've had plenty of spill on our rug. But luckily, there is like a leopard pattern to it. So it's like, oh, it's just part of the leopard print. So is it something that would show the stains very easily? Does it have like some type of a print to it?
Yes, it's dark and it has a print on it. So I'm really lucky there. But we just got it, so I didn't want to be the guy that coffee stains on it already. You probably wouldn't be able to see them. But thankfully, I looked down and I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, honey. And she was like, oh, don't worry about it. Look at that. And I saw 2 drips of coffee on her lime green house shoes, whatever they are, and wash those off, and now everything is good to go. That's how I know. Sometimes I look for a sign. is it going to be a good sign that I'm going to win my bets today? And that's the good sign, because it could have been a disaster instead. Saved.
Or maybe you already used all of your good luck. Like, sometimes I look at days like that, where, like, if your day has a really bad start to it, you're like, all right, like, it can't get any worse from here, right? I'm going to hit a single green light.
That's true.
So, like, maybe the day has to go up from here. So, I don't know, Jinx. Depends on how you want to spin it.
That's true. What are you doing today? Anything fun? Is Blake playing baseball today?
She had a softball game last night. So, today, we don't really have anything on the schedule. But, like, I don't know. It's a Wednesday. Nothing
spectacular.
How's
the swing looking? What about Blake?
I mean, it's better.
Okay. That's good. I'm keeping tabs.
We almost had a parent fight last night, which is wild. Like, it's six and under T-ball.
And why?
With some coach pitch thrown in there. Because the other team, like, half our team. So, the other team, when they do three pitches where the coach pitches it, and if they don't hit it, they go off the tee. Okay. So, the other coaches out there is the pitcher. And so, our team is the fielders. So, half our team was not on the field. They were still in the dugout getting their gloves on. And the guy starts pitching. So there is a batter that hits it to third. There's nobody even, like, in the area of it. And we're like, okay, it's one batter, whatever. And then the next batter gets up there and he starts pitching again. We're like, our team's not on the field. Because, like, there's not umpires for six and under T-ball slash coach pitch. So I'm like, dude, like, we're just trying to learn the game. So can you wait till our players get out there? And then he, like, fires back. He's like, well, your coach said it was fine. You guys need to stay out there. I'm like, all right, all right. But luckily, the guy that was, like, yelling the most from our stands was a cop. So I was like, oh, you want to go toe-to-toe with a Hendersonville cop? Good luck.
Knock yourself out, buddy. Good luck with that. Well, looking for some good luck on bet sweats later on today. Actually, coming up in about 15 minutes here, top of the hour, Joe, Sammy P are going to look at college football playoff futures, give their weekly power rankings as well, and a slate of great guests coming your way. Nate Collins joins at 9:20. Corby B.O. from Better Odds joins at 10:20. And then Eric Kratz from Foul Territory TV is talking baseball at 11 o'clock. All right, let's get to it, and hopefully luck is on our side today.
Time to place your bets.
As per usual, looks like you have one winner on the card, and I'm just going to lose my mind here.
Ah, knock on wood. Hopefully it is a winner. All right, today I'm going with a couple teams that I normally don't bet on, but we'll try it today. First five under 4.5 runs between the White Sox and the Orioles. So I know most people are probably not paying attention to the Orioles these days, but Tyler Wells is having himself a nice little run here. 1-0 this year with a 2.31 ERA. He has been consistently good. I know it's a smaller sample size, but still, the stuff has been playing. Meanwhile, Martin Perez starts for the White Sox. He's 1-5 with a 3.27 ERA, but the home road splits matter because Martin Perez in Chicago has been fantastic. A 1.67 ERA this year when pitching in Chicago. And plus, he's a veteran pitcher. Like, he's been around the block a while. So he's somebody that I trust a little bit. So 4.5 feels like a gettable number, especially when both these offenses really don't have a lot of punch. I was thinking to myself, okay, the Orioles have been playing a little bit better as of late, right? No, over the last month, all of their offensive metrics are still in the bottom half of baseball. In fact, the Orioles are striking out the third most of any team in baseball over the last month in the big league. So I think with both of these offenses being pretty pedestrian and both these pitchers being pretty dependable, first five under 4.5 for -125 is the play between the White Sox and the Orioles.
Chelsea, best of luck today. All right, massive card for me. Do as I say, not as I do. So unless you're feeling really confident, I'm going with this. I'm laying a lot of juice today, and we're going to have some fun, like Double D says. Who cares? All right, Cubs-Pirates, early game. First five, under five, -155. Matthew Boyd taking on Johan Oviedo. This hit the first game of the series, didn't hit yesterday. I think it hits today, just because if you look at Johan Oviedo, he's been really good. 2-0, 2.81 ERA. Has not allowed more than two runs in his last five outings. Then you've got Matthew Boyd. He's given up at least four runs in his last four of his last five, but the Pirates are so bad in the first five. Also, Boyd has faced the Buccos twice this season. They hit him for two runs in five innings back on April 30th, only one run over six innings back on June the 4th. First five under five is the play. Any lanes, Chelsea?
Well, I like a lot of the plays on your card. The A's and the Red Sox, like, I like that play quite a bit, but the only thing that goes against it is the fact that the A's have been kind of hot. Like, I think they've won five games in a row. I think eventually, like, the tables do turn, and Giolito's a good starter. But if I did have a lean, I like that one. The Red Sox on the run line against the A's.
Yeah, if you're going to play it, if you're listening, watching, I would play it on the run line. You can get that at plus money. I'm going to play it minus one. I'm toying around with these, having some fun with it. A's are going with Mason Barnett, and I'm really fading him. 12 runs in 12 and two-thirds innings. He also gave up 3 runs in 3 and two-thirds in his last start against the Red Sox. Also, Boston going Lucas Giolito. A's have been hot. I think this is when the Red Sox get it done. Going Red Sox minus 1 at minus 127. Also, Mariners at Royals. Over 8. I'm going to play it down from 8 in the hook and go over 8. If you want to play it over 8.5, I like that as well. Bryce Miller on the mound for Seattle. Away from home this season, 2-3, a 5.58 ERA. He's given up 4 or more runs in 4 of his last 6 starts. I initially liked Seattle. Now I think Royals are a live dog here. Cole Reagans is back from rehab in this game. Before he left to work on his rotator cuff, ERA over 5. He looked good in the minors in his rehab starts, but he's not going to go long in this game. He will be on a pitch count. The Royals bullpen is mediocre. Could be a long game for them. Let's go over 8 today in Kansas City. Seattle is the number one team to the over on the road this season. Rangers, first 5. Money line, minus 137. In Houston against the Astros, Jacob DeGrom taking on Christian Javier. This is a coin flip. And Jacob DeGrom hasn't been Jacob DeGrom-ish over his last couple starts, which is to say, whatever, 3 runs over 7 innings. Ultimately, we're talking about someone who allows opponents to hit 185 when he is pitching on the road. The Astros have had real issues scoring after the All-Star break. Rangers are the 4th best team in Major League Baseball in the first 5 when they are on the road. Rangers first 5 money line minus 137. And what would a show be if we didn't fade the Rocks? Oh, yeah. Marlins, money line, minus 160 in Colorado. Ryan Weathers going for Miami. McCade Brown going for the Rockies. McCade Brown is 0-4 with a 9.88 ERA. Small sample size doesn't matter. Gave up 3 runs in 4 innings to the Cubs, 6 runs in an inning in a third against the Padres. Will he get run support? I don't know. I doubt it. Rockies are the worst first 5 team in the sport. They have the worst bullpen in the sport, and you get to fade them at this price. This should be more punitive. It is not. Marlins on a money line, minus 160 in Denver, and that is the card.
Ah, you got to put that in the group chat with all of your high-achieving friends. Be like, listen, I know you guys are doing meaningful work for NASA,
right?
But I just gave an A-plus handicap on Marlins-Rockies.
Guys, I just faded the Rocks. Who's with me? Dead silence. We're furthering the society that we live in, and you're throwing your money down, fading Colorado. Whatever. I like what I'm doing, so I'm going to keep doing it. Also, we got to find out what's coming up on Bet Sweat. So Joe O is here. Before we get to that, we got to find out what the Donkster is up to. Donkster, get on in here.
If you're tired of winning, just send me on my way, because that's all I've done is win.
Are you doing this again?
Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good?
Donkster, we didn't even say anything.
I ain't going to the beach. I'm just getting going.
Okay, I think that's enough.
This program is built on the name, image, and likeness of Sidney Sweeney.
Okay.
Ah.
All right. That's okay. Please give us a bet, please.
Tigers, money line at the Guardians.
Okay. Coming next to Bet Sweats. Something much more entertaining than that, we know, for sure. Joe Ostrowski. Joe, oh, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Chelsea, I am so excited for you. Youth sports is going to give you so much content, and I cannot wait. I am not surprised in the least that it's starting at 6 years old. I've heard a lot of stories. I got into it last year with a guy, and he was waiting for me in the parking lot. Like,
what?
Just wait. Oh, it gets worse. I mean, it probably shouldn't come as a surprise that the stories that you hear. But, yeah, starting at 6 doesn't surprise me. I didn't really see it that young then. But the stories that I get now, because I'm on, like, the baseball board, yeah, that's a regular thing.
Oh, I remember this growing up, and like, you didn't see how crazy it was because you were young, you didn't know any better.
Yes,
but like, sure. I remember on one of my brother's All-Star games, there was a coach of ours that pushed over an opposing coach that was in a wheelchair.
Oh my God. What? It's remarkable.
Hashtag sportsmanship.
Yeah, yeah. Trying to relive through their children.
One of these days, we have to get the full waiting for me in the parking lot story. That sounds incredible. Yeah. Joe-O, glad you're okay. Good to see you. Have a great show. We are out of time for this edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. For Chelsea Messenger and Joe-O's parking lot stalker, I'm Michael Jenkins. Enjoy your Wednesday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.